Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for your great love for us. Father, for a clear throat in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your life. We pray for Pastor Bill now, Father. We thank you for healing power, restoration to his body, Father, to his flesh, to his bones, to his circulatory, his nervous system, Lord. Your great power, your mercies are upon him, Father God. Restore him, Father God. Fill him, all that he poured out over the weekend, O Lord. Fill him up with your grace, your power, your strength. In his weakness, he's strong because of you working on the inside of him, Lord. Thank you for the revelation of healing power. Lord, we thank you for this time. You're going to feed us today. Thank you for this beloved brother Paul, Lord, in his life, his devotion, his dedication in the word, that he brings revelation to us, Father. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Let's jump to 12th chapter. We're finishing this book today. So exciting. You know, since Pastor Bill's not here this morning, he might hear this on the podcast, and that's fine, whatever. But I just want to say, he just totally got me excited. A couple weeks ago, he said, "Brother Randy, I feel my strength is returning," you know, because what can give you greater joy, really? John says this, 3 John. What gives you greater joy than to know your children are walking in truth? Well, Pastor Bill is God's child, walking in the grace and the power. I put grace and power in you, and you're walking in it. What can give us greater joy than that? So when he shared with me, Brother Randy, I think I want to start on Ephesians. We're going to finish up Corinthians, and then we're going to jump quite a few years in history, you know, in context. We're going to jump quite a few years before we get to the place where Paul's going to write Ephesians. But during that time, the Spirit of God is continuing on him. He's continuing to do the work day by day, encountering life just like you encounter life. You every circumstance you go to, you learn something in the Spirit. Unless you're going to go through it in the flesh, then you probably already learned that, and you just thought that you could throw flesh at it and change it. And it doesn't work out too good, does it? But when we throw Spirit at it, because the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful to the pulling down of strongholds, destroying speculations and thought, you throw Spirit at it, and it fixes it, or it breaks it. And that, you know, however you want to see that. So here we are, Paul says, verse chapter 12, boasting is necessary, kind of an introduction. We're going into 13, we're finishing out. He is closing his thoughts here in his letter, because that's the focus. I'm just saying there's so much revelation in these things. You could teach on any of the topics, and that's fine, but that's not what we're doing. We're going through the book. We're saying why, what's Paul going through, what's going on in him. How can this help me? Because the Word of God has got to come to real life to us. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Vision and revelation of the Lord, you will too. You will. You stay close to the Spirit of God, you will go through revelation and vision. It will continue come to you. So, Randy, I never had a vision. What does that mean? Well, it's going to mean to you what it means, because I'm not in Paul's head. Yeah, I don't know what. Describe that to me, Paul. What does that mean? What is that vision, revelation? You get an insight into Christ. Christ in you. And this is what he was doing. You get an insight into purpose of God. Ever since when he came down, when he fell off his high horse, as we say, when he hit the ground, he knew, before he hit the ground, he knew his life was going to change. He just didn't know what it was going to look like just yet. You have to imagine that with you. I don't know if you were ever in a car accident. I'm not sure. You know, I don't mean to make this a negative kind of illustration, but when you're ever in a car accident, sometimes you see it coming, sometimes you don't. I've hit enough deer so I can speak. Some of those deer I never saw coming. Boom! Did just never, you don't see it coming. Paul's flushed with excitement. Paul is flushed with excitement. I have these letters from the Sanhedrin. I'm going to go arrest me some Christians. I'm going to put them in chains. I'm going to drag them back to Jerusalem. We're going to put them on trial, and maybe we'll have a stoning party. That flushed with zeal and excitement and power, he was engaged with the work that he was going to do, completely engaged. He's riding his horse. Try to imagine what that was. Paul. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Wrap your mind around that. This is what's happening. So he begins to get revelation. This is all. He reflects this story. I knew a man 14 years ago. This is the story. This was that man. Saul of Tarsus is at the top of his game. He was doing he thought was the work of God. Amazing. Vision and revelation is going to come to you. And then we went through this narrative of what this was. On behalf of this guy, I will boast. Vision and revelation. I want you to launch from there. Let's go to Ephesians 3. And as I was saying, Pastor Bill, that's what stirred me so much. Pastor Bill is going to deep dive into Ephesians. And I'm really excited about that. So really hoping, you know, that next week he begins to start this, teaching this. Here we go. This is so important. These dots do connect. It's not random. These things in the Word of God are not random. They will connect. Watch him. Remember where he's at, finishing up his second letter to Corinthians. But this is the same mind, this is the same heart, this is the same man. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, so we understand his station now. When he wrote 2 Corinthians, he was not a prisoner. But here he is a prisoner, so something's changed. That's not my point. But I want you, for perspective's sake, to understand this is a much older Paul, not much, just much older. Much older Paul, more experience, even more experience. If you think he just didn't have enough during his first journey and his second journey, into his third journey, he's going to wind up in Jerusalem. He's going to get arrested. He's going to get beat up. He's going to get, you know, captured by the Roman centurion, and he's going to carry him in and try to figure out who he is and what he is. He gets thrown in prison, and you know that whole narrative. This is the Paul we're talking about. And then after a couple years in prison, and it is a couple years because lordships, governors, Festus and Felix, the governors that ran their course, he was a prisoner, and they would call him up and say, Paul, let's have a discussion. Let's talk. Let me find out what's in you. And you see all that narrative in the book of Acts. And finally it says, oh, well, then this new governor comes in and says, well, will you stand before me down in Jerusalem for trial? He says, oh, no, I'm not going back to that place. I appeal to Caesar, the whole story. The boat trip, the shipwrecks, everything that happens, we keep moving forward. Finally, he ends up in Rome. He's still a prisoner. He's going to write this letter. Here we go. He's a prisoner. For the sake of the Gentiles. This is why I'm in prison, preaching to the Gentiles. If indeed you have one reason, oftentimes you're in prison, there's more than one reason. This is one reason. If indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, and we're talking about 2 Corinthians 12, grace has come upon his life. My grace is, I appeal to the Lord three times. I'm not scatterbrained here. I'm back and forth, there's a revelation working in the Apostle Paul, an understanding. When I'm weak, he is strong. Your grace is sufficient for me. That was a revelation that he had. The grace of God in his life, and the grace of God is on your life. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's going to write Philippians too at the same time he writes this. And he's going to write Philemon at the same time he writes this. And he's going to write Colossians at the same time he writes this. Four letters went out of Jerusalem, I'm sorry, out of Rome. Four letters went out from the hand of Paul by four different people. And they got on their horses and they went to these locations where these churches were. This is what was happening in Paul's time. So that's why you see similarities between Colossians and Ephesians, because it's birthed. These things are birthed out of the revelation that he had of who Christ was. And so you see, oh my gosh, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 are almost identical. Why? Revelation! He's writing to them of the important things they have to know in life. So he writes the letter. If indeed you've heard of the stewardship of the grace which has been given to me for you. So the grace that you have, thank you. Thank you, God, for giving grace to her, is for me. Thank you. Thank you what you're doing. Thank you what you're doing in Janet's life. Thank you what you're doing in Josiah's life. It's for me. Thank you. You're so good to me. That by revelation there was made known to me, verse 3, the mystery. The mystery. Oh, well, that'll get my attention. Oh, you have a mystery. There's a mystery. Let's solve this mystery. He's going to say, watch him solve it. As I wrote to you before in brief. No, wait a minute. Where's that letter at? I'll never be able to answer those questions for you. You don't mind me being honest, do you, Ralph? What letter did you write in brief? Welcome. I wrote this letter to you in brief. By referring to this, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. There was a mystery. Don't forget about that. Whoops. Sorry. My thing went nuts. Here we go. Which in other generations... In the past, just lock in time with him where he's at. In other generations, he's writing this letter. In other generations was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed. I'll come to visions. I'll come to revelation. It has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. This insight, this revelation. Let's keep going. In the Spirit. It's not of the flesh. Oh, no, 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 no. It's of the Spirit. To be specific. Oh, please. Would you please be specific? I like that. Just to be specific. So, if you're wondering what it is, he's about ready to tell you. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Christ. Christ Jesus through the gospel, through this good news that I'm spreading everywhere. Everywhere he went, he's spreading good news that people need to hear it today. There's people that are fellow members. They just haven't heard Christ yet. They have to hear about Jesus Christ and how God's not upset with you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He has forgiven you of your sin. But you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus Christ. I don't want to belabor this too much. Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. This grace that you have, Dave, God had to exercise some power to get that in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He put an effort into putting in you what you have to give to us. There was an effort on God's part. There was an effort on God's part to put in you, John, put in you what you have to give to the body of Christ. There's an effort on God's part. This grace which was given according to the working of his power to me. This is how Paul refers to himself. I know we like to look at that a little more carefully in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, and we see all this boasting that he's doing, what we think is boasting, qualifying his life in ministry. We think that's what it is, but it's not that at all. Paul thinks look how he sees himself, the very least of all the saints. He doesn't think too highly of himself at all, at least not that man, but Christ in him. Christ in him is everything. To me, the very least of saints, this grace was given. Well, what's it look like? What's this grace looks like that's been given to him? That God exercised this power in his life and released in his life? It looks like this: to preach to the Gentiles. And I love this word, the unfathomable. That's a difficult Greek word. I can't even say it, to be honest with you. I won't even attempt. That would be embarrassing to try to pronounce this word. For me, I wish Jake was here. He could say it just like nothing, like butter. It would be nothing to him. Unfathomable. It's impossible to trace it. You can't get a track on it. You can't get a track on how good God is to you. It's just unfathomable. It's very difficult. The riches of Christ. God is so rich. Unfathomable riches of Christ. To bring to light, this is what grace of God in Paul looked like. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. Don't let all these words throw you. I put it in plain English and somewhat. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which has for ages, 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 for a long, long time. It has been hidden in God. No one knew about this because it's hidden in God, hidden in him. Hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God, this we can go all the way back to 1 Corinthians 1:30, and Christ has been made unto you, what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's telling us this right here. This was already revelation in the Apostle Paul. He's saying it in an interesting way. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. He later writes about the church. Paul will later write about the church and say it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's you hold it up. It's through the church. It's because of you. You hold up this truth, this gospel. It comes from the church. It comes from you. You are the church. You are the temple. This is Paul's revelation. You are that. That it might be made known through the church. This is a favorite topic of Paul's. This next phrase here. He just wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 10. To rulers, authorities in heavenly places. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers in high places. This is the same revelation that he's speaking from. The authorities in that this was accordance with the eternal purpose. God had an eternal purpose in what he was doing. Everything that we're starting to see during Paul's day, you know, we're only 20 years past the resurrection of Christ in Paul's day. So everything is new. Everything is, wow, I never saw that before, Shane. I never saw blind eyes seeing and the dead was raised up and the lame were springing up and walking. We weren't seeing this. We're coming out of a dark time. This is hidden. To us, it's like, yeah, I believe that. Some of us have seen some of these things. Some of us have been used by God in some of these things. Amazing things. This was accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ. Jesus Christ, and this is a prophetic thought. Jesus Christ was God's instrument, the sacrifice for our life. This is how God administrated salvation for me. He rolled his sleeves up and he went to work, and it was according to his purpose. That's prophetic. If you understand prophetic scripture, God, salvation didn't come by any other way. So God rolled his sleeves on it and went to it. He went to salvation for you and for me. It's prophetic thought. He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. That's how it comes. That was Paul's battle. That was his fight. No, you got to come under the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to do this. No, it's faith in him. This was Paul's battle. This is why he was in prison. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf. Again, this is an exchange of the same thought that he said to the Corinth, to the church in Corinth. For they are for your glory. And I don't want to do too much. I'm not deep diving into Ephesians. I'm saying this revelation comes from here. This is what he's saying. This man I'm going to boast about, he saw heavenly things, unfathomable things to be able to express. So here he goes down through here, the thorn in the flesh, we're jumping back to the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He received this thorn in the flesh. Obviously, and I think I'm really in the same camp with you all. Most of you already understand, and we don't have to tear this apart again, the thorn in the flesh. This opposition, everywhere he went, opposition, opposition, opposition. Opposition from a principality, from a power. It was spiritual darkness working against his life. It manifests itself in many ways to describe what this is like. If you've ever, you know, if you work for a corporation or work in any kind of job, or a business owner, you'll find oppositions to your life all the time. You know, from management, from employees, from your other help. So he had this opposition, this thorn in the flesh that he was battling. But the end of it all, God said to him, when he asked him, take this away from me. Can you remove this guy from out of my way? My grace is sufficient for you. Don't look at him. Look at me. Same thing he's saying to Peter. That's an inspirational thought. That's not a Bible quote. Peter steps over is that you, Lord? Yes, it is. Steps over the boat. Jesus didn't write it this way, but think about it. In your life, my life, as we face our daily challenges, Peter, don't look at the waves, look at me. God's going to reach out and help you. He helps us in all our circumstances of life. Let me get down through here. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's because of Christ, Christ in him. I've become a fool. Verse 12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. You will identify this wondrous grace of an apostle, this gift that God put in a man as an apostle of God. This gets pretty strong as it finished. He's going to finish really strong. You know, you never like to end a message on a negative, but I kind of did that last week. I didn't really see that coming to that strength, but I watched my clock and I'm running out of time, right? So it ended. It's such a powerful thought. It's like, when I come to you, I'm going to bring my belt. I'm going to bring a rod. You know, that's not a good way to end a message. Now here, verse 14, here for the third time, I'm ready to come to you. Now, Paul said this. I'm not making this up. Paul's already been there. He preached the gospel to him. He spent a couple years there, almost 2 years there. He moved on to other ministry. He came back by there, visited there again, talked to them, and now he's away again in ministry. This is the third time he's getting prepared to come to the city. I will not burden you. This was about how, I'm sorry I didn't send you the hotel bill. I'm sorry I didn't charge you for the food that I ate. I'm not going to burden you as we move on down. And he talked about Titus as his strong helper, his worker. I sent Titus and the other man, I think it was Apollos, but you can have your own opinion. It's all good. I think Paulus was a strong worker who understood the ministry that was put before him, apostolic ministry. Of course, we don't have these books that are written about Apollos and all his journeys and everything he did, but we knew he was a man. He was an intense man of the Word of God who could explain the mysteries of Christ to the churches. He was a help to Paul. As Paul asked him, go to Corinth. It was, I'm not ready to go there just yet, but I will when I make my rounds. I'll get there. This is the narrative in the book of Acts. And so he says here as he's finishing up in verse 20, "For I'm afraid that if perhaps when I come," on his third mission trip, not mission trip, but this third trip, he's actually on his way to Jerusalem. "I'm afraid perhaps when I come, I'll find you not to be what I wish, and I may be found by you as not what you wish, that perhaps that there's strife there." See, Paul's not there. He's writing a letter. He did write one a while back, probably over a year ago, and he brought correction to the leadership of the church. Fix this, guys. Fix this. This is not spiritual. Immorality in a church is not the way the church functions. New thing for them. Well, Greek culture is okay. Christian culture, not okay. This is sin against God. These things are sin against God. They need to repent of. This is the works of the flesh. He defines them when he writes Galatians book. What are the works of the flesh? Galatians explains it to us very vividly. These things should not be permitted in church. That's not the only thing. Jealousies, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, and disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come, God may humiliate me. What have I taught you? What are the things that I've wrote to you? Are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in the flesh? This is going to be the end of the day for all of us. At any encounter we have, did we walk in the Spirit or did we walk in the flesh? Did we combat our challenge and our situation in spirit, or did we combat it with the flesh? Did we decide to go to court to fix this matter, or did we decide to pray in regard to this matter? Why are you taking your brother to court for? Lawsuits. These are the things that he was facing, the real challenges of life. God may humiliate me. I might mourn over those who have sinned. That's an interesting thought. That's a growth process in our life, that we're actually saddened because people fall away in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, sensuality which they've practiced. It's not a good practice. Love, faith, hope, good practice. Those are good practices. Great habits to be involved in. Let's get to chapter 13 and we're finishing this letter. This is the second time he said this now. The third time I'm coming to you. Watch where he draws this inspiration from. You're going to know it, see it right away. It's from the Levitical law. Every fact is to be confirmed by testimony of two or three witnesses. If you're going to bring an accusation against somebody, you better have some witnesses on it. Because if you want me to act on it, if you want me to bring a judgment in this matter, and you want the truth on the matter, it needs to be by two or three witnesses, because that's the order of God. These witnesses. I've previously said, this is strong language now as he's finishing this. I've previously said when present the second time, I already told you this, so I'm mentioning it again. I previously said that though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, strong language, that if I come again, I'm not going to spare anyone. I'm really not sure what that looks like. But we do know he has authority. We do know he fathered this church. And what does this look like? I'm not going to spare anyone because I don't know what that looks like. I do know that when you sin against somebody or when someone sins against you, you go to your brother. I do understand those things from what Jesus said. Since you're seeking the proof of Christ who speaks in me and who's not weak towards you but mighty to you. Mighty in you. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Mighty in you. Christ is mighty in you. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness. He took my sin upon himself. He was crucified, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because the power of God directed towards you. Power of God directed towards you. It's purposed towards you. It's directed. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. We should probably wake up every day and say that. Test myself. You know, a faith test. Diagnostic. You know, I'm diagnosing in my spirit. Am I connected with God? Do I have faith in God? Do I have hope in God? Order my day, O Lord. Test myself to see if I'm in the faith. You know, a lot of things around us that we use, you turn on your washer, your dryer. You go out to start your car, you turn the key. The computer does a diagnostic of everything. All the sensors in the car, if you have one of those kind of cars. Well, it's not something you think about, but this is something you have to think about. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Am I in faith today? Faith is important. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? That will change your life. That will change your life every time. I wake up, you thank God. Thank you, Lord, for life, for resurrection power. Test yourself, unless indeed you fail the test. Well, that's never good. Are we insensitive to the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us? Are we insensitive when we have opportunities to be angry, to be disappointed, to be disillusioned? Are we sensitive to the Spirit of God who gives us life? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Paul is very conscious of the resurrection power of life that's working on the inside of him. Very conscious, very many situations that are before him, his confidence and his trust is in God. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. That's what a task. Phil, don't you do any wrong today. You know, Randy, don't you do any wrong today. That you do no wrong. That's a task for us. Trust in the Lord. Now we pray that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves, you know, your children, you can relate this better to your children because you see this in parenting. You don't let your children out of line because they'll embarrass you. You see this kind of thing in parenting, this mindset. Well, you want to instruct your children. You want them to walk in the right ways. But as they get older, their life, their testimony, the things that they believe, you have to come to believe something, child. You do your best to live a good example before them. You do your best to live right before them. You do your best not to do wrong. But they have a choice. They're their own person. They have a choice. You live a good example before them. Show them the word. Show them the life of Christ. This is what we do. But this attitude here, Paul's explaining it to them. It's not me. Here he goes. That you do no wrong, not that we may be approved, but that you might do what's right, even though we may appear unapproved. There's a lot of rumors about him. There's a lot of speculation about him. There was speculation and rumors before he became a Christian. The Apostle Paul. Ananias. The Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision. Yeah, there's this Saul of Tarsus is up at this house. I want you to go and lay hands on him that he might regain his sight. Oh, I heard about him. But Paul had a reputation when he was wicked. And he was coming against the church. And now he has a reputation. We find that out when he gets to Jerusalem here pretty soon. He has a reputation that forsake the law of Moses. And, you know, all these things, these lies about him that followed him about who he is and what he is. And he just, at any point in time, would stand and tell you the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, verse 8. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we pray for, that you become complete, fulfilled, matured, trained. This is what Paul was doing, speaking to them training them in righteousness, training them in holiness, training them in the way that they should go. This was what Paul was writing to them about. For this reason, I'm writing these things. For what reason? For this reason, I'm writing these things while absent, so that when I am present, he hasn't weakened his stance here. He's strong in the Lord. That I need not use severity in accordance with authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. For building up and not for tearing down. Get that in your spirit. It's to build people up, not to tear them down. You know where you're going if you're not connected with Christ. Down. But being connected with Christ, yes, you may make some mistakes along the pathway. But the word of God is going to come and build you up. And the wise man of God will come speak into your life to build you up. Not for tearing down. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Fully trained. Mature. This is what the inference here. Be made complete. Be comforted. This is revelation that he had. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. You don't read about that in 1 Corinthians. But you do in 2 Corinthians because of the things that the Apostle Paul was fighting against. In Ephesians, the Lord came to him and comforted him. Fascinating. Comfort, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace, the God of love and peace will be with you. Paul's on his way. Third time he's going to go visit them. He's going to speak to them. Money's a thought. Not money as in mammon, but they promised to take a collection for the poor saints in Judea. Paul was all about that. Let's take this up. That's Paul's testimony when he appears before the king. He said, I came down here to bring alms. To bring offerings, to worship in the temple. I came down here to do that. And they caught me and beat me up in the temple. He explained his testimony. He gave account of himself. He brought alms. This is the churches, the various churches that were giving to the poor saints. It was a mark in his in his ministry and what he was doing. Remember, Peter and James said, please remember the poor, Paul. The very thing I love doing that. I love remembering the poor. I love helping. Paul's doing this. We see this in other letters. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Three things are listed there. All these are important. All these should be boxes ticked in our churches. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Grace of Christ. The love of God. This is what identifies the church as what it is. Oh, your church is dead. How do you know your church is dead? Well, there's only 14 people that go there. What's that had to do with anything? Is the love of God there? Is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit there? Is the power of God present there? Well, hopefully if those 14 go out and tell 14 more, maybe there'll be more, because when Jesus said, go into all the world, he didn't change his mind. So it's upon us to take on. This is what Paul was doing. He ended up writing letters because of this. He embraced the call of God on his life, and he went about preaching to these various cities. Many cities, as a matter of fact. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. He's on his way to Corinth for the third time, on his way to Jerusalem. And he's even going to make his way to Rome if you want to take into account what you see in the book of Acts. He said, I want to go to Rome, but I need to come through these places first. And he ends up getting a free trip. Father, we thank you for your love. Inspire us, Father, that the grace of God would be upon our lives. The fellowship and the love of the Holy Spirit be upon our lives. The pillar and ground of the truth, that we would understand that the work that is set before us is by your mighty grace that's working on the inside of us. And that we we purpose ourselves to live rightly, to walk upwardly, circumspectly. Father, put words in our mouth, inspire us in spirit, those who need to be saved and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, that we could be kind people. We could be people that follow after you with a whole heart. So we thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for healing power on Pastor Bill, refreshing and strength to him according to your spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.